Dennis read in Matthew this morning about the point of time when Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem. And as he gets ready to enter Jerusalem, he has the foal of a donkey brought to him that he might ride in it to fulfill the scriptures. And as he starts moving down the hill towards Jerusalem, the people gathered round and they laid palms down and they laid their coats down for him to ride upon. And they said this. They said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." If we know the Psalms well, we know that that's a direct quote from Psalm 118. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Psalms 118, 25 and 26 says, "O Lord, do save us, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you. Do send prosperity." And that's sometimes translated as, "O Lord, do save us, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you. Give us success." The word Hosanna is a Greek word. And on the notes that I passed out, on the second page you'll see it. Hosanna. And from the Greek, it would be Omega, Sigma, Alpha, Nu, Alpha. And you say, how do you get Hosanna out of that? It starts with O. Well, if you see just right above the Omega, the first one that looks like a W, there's a little mark, and it looks like a backwards apostrophe. When that mark is present over a vowel, it makes it into a hard sound, which gives the H sound. So instead of Hosanna, it becomes Hosanna. Now, we know that the New Testament is written in Greek. We know that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew with just a little bit of Aramaic put in there. So in the Psalms, we know that the word Hosanna would not have been there. Hosanna is a transliteration, which means taking the Hebrew words and taking the letters of the Hebrew words and moving them into Greek. And it's made up of two words that are Yisha and Anna. And the word Yisha means "do save." And the word Anna means "we beseech thee." So as Jesus was riding down the hill from the Mount of Olives, and the people gathered round, and they threw the palm leaves down, and they threw their coats down, and they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were saying, "We beseech thee, save us." This is what you would say to a king who is coming, that you want to reign in peace, that you want to have him come in and be a peaceful king that will take you away from the oppression of the Romans and set up your nation as a sovereign nation once more. Now, the nation of Israel was not a sovereign nation at any point since the return, or since the carrying away to the captivity of Babylon. They had always had another nation reigning over them. And they looked at Jesus coming down the hill, and they were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us, we beseech thee." And the fact that he was coming on a donkey showed that he was coming to be a king that would reign over in peacetime. If he was coming to be a king that would be a king like King David, who was a warrior king, he would come on a white horse. But he came on a donkey to reign in peace. And that's how I'm starting what I want to teach today, because this started what we know as now, what we call now Holy Week or Passion Week. And in the high church, in the Catholics, the Anglicans, somewhat the Lutherans, it's a very specific week where certain observances happen all week long. I mentioned the word high church. We are the low church. And in the time of the Reformation, that was a put down. That was a way of saying, you guys are lesser than what we are, the high church. But when the Protestant Reformation happened and they started moving away from Catholicism, from Anglicanism, then that was the low church. And we don't quite follow all of the same liturgy. We don't follow all of the same traditions that the high church followed. But the high church had very specific things that happened this whole week. In fact, it started way back on Ash Wednesday, when the palms that were given out on Palm Sunday, they were kept for a year till Ash Wednesday, and then they were burned, and those ashes would make a cross on your forehead, and you started Ash Wednesday in Lent, and you gave up certain things, and then you got to Passion Week, which started with Palm Sunday and ended with Easter, which is the resurrection. And I want to talk about that week this morning, because we, as a group of believers, don't really celebrate it in the same way that the high church did. But there's a lot of things that happened in that week that we now look at that have some amazing correlation to what was going on in Jewish life at the time of Jesus, and what was going on from the time of the Exodus. As they look back each year to remember the Exodus and to remember what God did in bringing them out of the land of Egypt and bringing them out of the bondage they had under the Egyptians. And so I want to talk a little bit about that and about how that all correlates with this one week that we celebrate from Palm Sunday to Easter. On the second page of the handout that I gave you, I have from triumphal entry to resurrection, and I have days listed out. And as you read that, you start out by seeing that the 10th day of Nisan. Nisan is the first month of the Jewish year. And I was studying this week, and I was listening to a rabbi talk about it. And he said, now, and I did this because I wanted to make sure I was pronouncing it right. So I looked up a YouTube video that had a rabbi that was talking about this, and I thought, okay, he's from Israel. I think he grew up in the United States. So he spoke very fluent English. But I wanted to make sure that I was saying it right. So I was saying Nisan correctly. But then he started talking about the Exodus and how that all played into the Passover week that they celebrate today, and the Passover and how they celebrate it today. And he mentioned the month of Nisan. The 10th of Nisan, if you are a religious Jewish family in the time when the temple still existed, on the 10th of Nisan, you would go and pick out a lamb for sacrifice. And this goes all the way back to Exodus, when God is speaking to Moses, and he's preparing for the Passover to happen. Okay, now we remember back as the Passover is nearing, God had sent Moses to free the people from their slavery to Egypt. In that time, 10 plagues happen. The final plague, as we all remember, is the plague where the angel of death passes over, and the firstborn of all the households die, unless you had the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of your house. When God talked to Moses about how this was going to happen, he said, on the 10th day of Nisan. Okay, now I need to step back just a little bit on this, because this word Nisan, that's the first month of the Jewish year, is a word that came from Babylonia, from Babylon. The original would have been the Ava or the Abba. I'm not saying that right, and I know I'm not saying that right, but there was an original word that was a Hebrew word for the first month of the year. When they came back from captivity in Babylon, they adopted the Babylon calendar, and Nisan comes from the Babylon calendar. So if you were reading in your scriptures and you read two different words for the month of the year that this was happening, that's why. Because when they came back from captivity, they adopted the Babylon calendar, which is Nisan. And from then on, they used Nisan for the month of the year that they celebrate the Passover. Okay, so God tells Moses that on the 10th day, all the fathers, all the heads of the household are to go out and get a lamb, and that the lamb is to be a year old without spot or blemish, and that they're to bring it in to their home, and they're to keep it there for 4 days. And on the fourth day, the lamb is to be slaughtered, the lamb is to be sacrificed, and the blood of the lamb is to cover the doorpost on your house, and then you're to roast it and eat it. And that is the feast of the Passover. So on the 10th day, the lambs are selected. On the 14th, the lambs are sacrificed. On the 15th is what is known today in Jewish custom as the Seder. It is the feast of the Passover. It's when they sit down and they eat lamb, they have bitter herbs, and all of this points to the Exodus and bringing them out of the land of Egypt and the celebration of that. And that is Levitical law, that this is to happen every year. Okay, so what does that have to do with us today in our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and our celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ? Well, the things that happened on this week that we now call Holy Week, or that we call Passion Week, have some direct correlations with what God commands to happen to celebrate the Passover, to remember God bringing the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, I mentioned the rabbi that I listened to, and to get the correct pronunciation of the word Nisan, or Nisan. And as he was talking, he's talking about the importance of the Passover to the Jewish people. How important it is. And he relates a story of something that happened. And he tells the story of a specific king, and I forgot his name. Excuse me as I turn my page in my notes. a king in the area of what is now northern Turkey. It was southern Ukraine. It was the Crimea and western Russia. And this king decided that he wanted to find out, and this is about the 6th century BC or AD. He wanted to find out who the one true God is that he should worship. And he wrote he had a book written that in essence became the first book about comparative religions. And so he went through a whole bunch of religious leaders to try to find out who the God is that he should serve. He got to the point where he brought a rabbi in. And he asked the rabbi, "Who is the God that you serve?" And the rabbi's answer was, "I serve the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God who brought our people out of the land of Egypt." When the king heard this, he was beside himself. And as the rabbis tell in the story, he says, the king said to him, "What kind of a God is that? That's a pocket God. That's a God that you can put in your pocket. Why not say, I serve the God of all creation, the God who created the universe?" The rabbi responded to him, "Anyone can say I serve the God of the universe. But for God to step into personal lives and to create the miracles that happened to bring us out of Egypt, that is a God worth worshiping." And if you study history, and if I was better at remembering names, I could tell you who these people were. And if you come to me later, I'll be able to remember it. But if you study these people, inexplicably, there is a huge transformation in their culture because their culture adopted Judaism after this rabbi told them this. The king went out and created in his kingdom, their religion became Judaism, and they adopted Judaism because they saw that what this rabbi said, that the God who is willing to come into our lives personally and to rescue us and to take us out of bondage is a God worth serving. And as I was watching that, I wanted to say, but he did more than that. He not only did that, he stepped out of heaven and he came and walked among us and he took us away from our bondage to sin by dying on the cross for us. I wanted to shout that to this, but I'd be shouting to my iPad and my wife would have looked at me and said, "What is wrong with you?" All this to get to the point of how our Holy Week fits into the celebration of the Passover. On the 10th day, fathers would go and pick out a lamb and they would bring it home. And for 3 days, they would watch over this lamb to make sure that nothing happened. Nothing came about to cause a scar or a blemish on this lamb, so that when the lamb was sacrificed, that it would be without blemish. That it would be without spot or blemish. And you say, okay, but how does that relate to who we are as believers? Well, when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem and what we call the triumphal entry. And the people were laying down the palms, and the people were throwing down their coats in front of them, and they were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is the very day that the Lamb is chosen to be sacrificed. This day coordinates with Christ coming to Jerusalem, the beginning of what we call Holy Week, the point at which Jewish fathers would pick the lamb that was to be sacrificed. For the next 3 days, then, Jesus goes into the temple and he meets with the Jewish leaders. And they question him, and he answers them, and he tells them parables. And through all of this, the first thing he does is he throws out the money changers. And then for the next 3 days, he's in the temple every day. And we see this as we read John. He talks about how on the next day, I'm reading the wrong one. And John... John talks about how from that day on, Jesus goes into the temple daily to discuss things with the leaders. Now, if you look at that from the perspective of a father coming home and bringing the lamb home, he brings it in and he carefully observes that lamb to make sure that that lamb, the whole family does, observes that lamb to make sure that that lamb remains spotless and without blemish till the time that it is sacrificed. In essence, what Jesus was doing at that time when he's going into the temple every day could correlate with that period of time where the Father brings the lamb home and he watches it closely each day to make sure that it is spotless and without blemish. All right, now the next thing I'm going to get into in this Holy Week. So we've talked about the 10th day of Nisan, when the lambs are brought in. And then we move to the next 3 days when they're being watched over. On the 14th day, the lamb is sacrificed. And so as I step into this next section, I'm going to admit to you, this is going to be a little controversial. If I were to say to you, what day of the week was Jesus crucified? All of us would immediately say, on Good Friday. He was crucified on Good Friday. And very likely he was. However, way back, hundreds of years ago, when I was in Bible college, one of my professors said to us as a group, what if Jesus was crucified on Thursday? And of all of us reacted immediately, that can't be, because the next day after he was crucified was the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is Saturday, right? And so it had to be Friday. It couldn't have been Thursday. And he said, what you don't understand is in Levitical law, when God gives Moses the Levitical law and he talks about celebrating the Passover every year, there are very certain things that have to happen on the 10th day a lamb is picked out. On the 14th, it is sacrificed. On the 15th, you celebrate the Seder or the feast. And after you celebrate the feast, it starts 7 days of unleavened bread. In these 7 days of unleavened bread, you can't eat leavened bread. You can't have it in your house. You can't have it anywhere around. In fact, a Jewish family will go into their house and clean it incredibly thoroughly. It makes anybody who grew up with spring cleaning, nothing compared to what they do to make sure that there's no leaven in the house before Passover. Okay. Now that's what happens. So on the 15th is Passover. It commemorates the time when the angel passed over, and if you had blood on your doorstep, your eldest son didn't die, and if you didn't, your eldest son died. And then the children of Israel are sitting there with their shoes on, with their cloaks on, ready to go, so that when Pharaoh says, okay, you can let your people go, they're ready. Okay. And they eat the roasted lamb that was sacrificed at that point. So the 15th day is the Seder. Well, what we often don't look at is the day that the lamb was sacrificed was the day before the Seder is celebrated. The day before the Passover is celebrated. And you say, no, that's not right. The lamb was sacrificed, the blood was put on the door, and then that evening they ate it, right? Okay, but what we often forget in our Western culture is, for us, our day starts at midnight and it goes to midnight. For the Hebrews, in the time of Christ, their day started when the last rays of the sun dropped below the horizon. If you were to celebrate the Sabbath, you would prepare your meal, because you can't work on the Sabbath, right? You would prepare your meal that evening, and as the sun is going down, you would be doing all the preparations, but as the sun drops below the horizon, all of that preparation had to be done at the moment before the sun drop below the horizon, because at that moment is the Sabbath and all work has to stop. So for the Hebrews in Israel at the time of Christ, a day was from sundown to sundown. So the lamb was sacrificed, the sun went down, it's the next day, they have the Seder, they have the feast. Okay, as we look at Jesus and his trial and the things that led up to his trial and then his crucifixion, we're looking at events that happened. And we in our Western mind look at that, okay, this happened here and then this happened and this happened. That's all one day because it's from the midnight to midnight. But it's not. It's, in their estimation, it's from sundown to sundown. Where that brings us to is a few key scriptures in the New Testament that I want to look at. In the book of John, John is talking about the crucifixion of Christ. And he's talking about the meal that they're going to have. And he says, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And then he says, during supper. Okay, so he starts out by saying, now before the feast of the Passover, comma, and then he talks a little bit about Jesus loving them, and then he continues, during supper. And then he goes on to talk about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. John very specifically here says that this supper that is happening, and this is the supper And John doesn't talk about the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine as the other Gospels do. But John very specifically says that this is before the feast of the Passover. During supper, Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. Now, in our Western tradition, we look at the events that are happening the day before Jesus is crucified, and we look at what we call the Last Supper, and we consider that the Passover feast, the Seder. And in a lot of the Gospels, in the first three Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, it talks about it being the Passover feast. Okay, but when you get to John, John very specifically says that before the Passover happens, during supper. So this is the meal, the day that Judas betrays him, and John goes on to talk about Judas betraying him and all that happened there. And then he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas leads the soldiers. They arrest him. They try him. The next day, what we would call the next day, that same day for them, he's crucified. So according to what John is saying then, he is saying that this happened on Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan. This is the day in the evening, because the sun has gone down, they have their meal after the sun goes down. The evening, it is now the next day. So during Wednesday, all of this, he's in the temple, he goes out from the temple, and he has his disciples get ready. But it's after sunset. So it would be the next day. So it would be Thursday. Now, is this actually the way it happened? Or am I reading too much into it? Or are the people that I've read that have studied this read too much into it? I can't answer that. This is a debate that has been going on since the days of a man named Polycarp, who had been a disciple of John, the Gospel of John was written from. And after John died, they started arguing about what day of the week things happened. And Polycarp held to that it happened on Thursday. Others said, no, it happened on Friday because of the other Gospels and what was written. But I want to point out the significance of, if this happened on Thursday, if Christ was crucified on Thursday instead of Friday, what that does to the Passover celebration. Okay, we talked about the lamb being chosen on the 10th day. We talked about the 14th day of Nisan, the lamb is sacrificed. Now, if we hold to the traditional view that Jesus was crucified on Friday, that puts him dying the day after the lamb was crucified, the lambs were sacrificed. If Jesus died on Thursday, he died the day the lambs were sacrificed. This would be huge for the Jewish people. This would be, okay, this is the fulfillment of the sacrifices. This is, as John the Baptist said when he foresaw Jesus and he started his ministry, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And throughout Scripture, the idea of Christ being the Lamb of God is huge. So if Jesus died on the 13th, or on the 14th of Nisan, then he died the day that the lambs were sacrificed. And it would fit into the Jewish culture. And it would show them, yes, he was the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Not only that, but in Levitical law, it lays out very specifically when the lambs are to be slaughtered. And the lambs are to be slaughtered on the ninth hour. Now, the Jews considered the first hour at sunrise. The ninth hour would then be 3 o'clock. In three of the Gospels, we read that Jesus took his last breath at 3 o'clock. The fourth Gospel, the Gospel of John, gives a different time. And a lot of people have looked at that and they've said, okay, there's conflict here. That proves that the scriptures aren't correct. But what they didn't take into account was John wrote his gospel much later in an area that was predominantly Roman. Now, the Romans used to consider 6 o'clock in the morning the beginning of telling time. But as the empire grew, they had an issue because the day was still divided up into 12 hours. So from sunrise to sunset, it was 12 hours. And it was divided up equally. Now that's fine on the 20th of March and the first day of fall, where the hours are equal. But as we know as Alaskans, the hours in summer and the hours are in winter are much different. So for the Jews who divided up that time equally all year long, in the summer an hour was longer than it was in the winter. And it varied a half hour in time. Now, as the Romans conquered more land and they went further north, they started running into this problem. When they had conquered the Isle of Britain and they went to the northern parts of Britain, much like here, the days are a lot longer in the summer than they are in the winter. So they stopped judging their days by starting at 6 o'clock in the morning and going to 6 o'clock in the evening. From sunrise to sunset, they went to using water clocks to measure time. So their time then started from midnight to midnight. And they looked at it and divided it into two times, what we now know as AM and PM. So their time was different. So when we look at what John wrote and we see a different time than what the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote, it's not in conflict with each other. It's a different timekeeping strata, which they kept time one way here, they kept time another way here, so that those all match. But the important thing about this is, if Jesus was crucified on Thursday instead of Friday, it matched up exactly to the time that Levitical law says the lambs are to be slaughtered. I have yet to make up my mind what I believe and what holds the best evidence to when Christ died. But if it is correct that Christ died on Thursday, what a remarkable picture God painted of the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Not only did Christ enter Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday at the exact same day that people are picking out the lambs to sacrifice, but then he spent the next 3 days being examined by the Pharisees and the scribes as a father would do with the lamb that was going to be sacrificed for their sins. If he died on Thursday, he died at this exact time in the temple where the lambs were sacrificed to cover the sins of the people for the next year. He died to take away the sins forever. And if it was that time, it would have been the exact same time. Okay, so now what do we do with the Sabbath? Okay, because when when Nicodemus and the other guy whose tomb Jesus was buried goes into Pilate, they say, we need to take them down. And the Jewish people went to the soldiers and said, this needs to end now because we need to get ready for the Sabbath. So break their legs. And they broke the two legs of the people that were crucified with Christ. They got to Christ and they found that he was already dead. So they used their spear and they speared him in the side and blood and water came out. But they did that, they proceeded to do that so that they would be taken down so that they wouldn't be up on the crosses for the Sabbath. Also, when Joseph of Arimathea, whose name escaped me a minute ago, went to Pilate to say, we would like to take Jesus' body and bury him in my tomb. He did that in saying, we need to do this now, because this is the day of preparation for the Sabbath tomorrow. Okay, so if you look at that, and if you say the Sabbath was on Saturday, which we know the Sabbath is on Saturday, right? Then that would put Christ as having been crucified on Friday. However, if you look at Levitical law on how the Passover is to be conducted, I mentioned the Feast of Unleavened Bread that happens the seventh day after, starting on the 15th, which is Passover, going for the next 7 days. In Levitical law, the first day of Unleavened Bread and the last day of Unleavened Bread, work is forbidden, which would make those days Sabbaths. So, for the Jewish culture, then Sabbath is happening on Passover. And this year, Sabbath, if Jesus died on Thursday, this year, the Passover Sabbath would have been Friday. The actual Sabbath would have been on Saturday. So, when it says that we have to get him off the tree before the Sabbath, it would have been the Passover Sabbath. The Sabbath that happens because of Levitical law that says on the Passover, you are to do no work. So they would have had to have him down before the Passover. If you look at the Greek word in Matthew, when it's talking about Mary and the women coming to the tomb on Easter morning, the Greek word there says after the Sabbath. The Greek word is actually a plural. And it says after the Sabbaths came. And so if you look at it from that perspective, then yes, Jesus could have been crucified on Thursday. The other big sticking point is when you read the Gospel of Luke, and he talks about what we call the Lord's Supper. It says that they were celebrating the Passover. Yes, I want to come and celebrate the Passover with you. Now, there is also evidence in Scripture from Ezekiel that during the week of Passover, there is a feast that happens the day before the Passover feast actually happens. So it's potential that this is the Passover feast that Jesus is talking about, because it is labeled as a Passover feast. And if you read Luke, in the beginning of Luke talking about that, he says that on the day that the lambs are slaughtered, this happens. Which means that the feast that they're going to have happens not on the 15th of Nisan, which is Passover, but on the 14th. And he sends his disciples out to find the upper room, to find the place where they're going to stay, and they go and feast. In the book of Mark, it talks about this. And so it all comes down then to, did Jesus send the disciples out to find the upper room and to secure that and to prepare the feast before or after sundown? If he did it before sundown, then it would show that Jesus was crucified on Friday. If he did it after sundown, it shows that Jesus would have been crucified on Thursday at the exact moment that the lambs, the sacrificial lambs, were being sacrificed. We don't know. We don't know at what point Jesus sent the disciples out. But up to that point, he had been in the temple. Typically, your day went that you did the things that you were going to do at sundown, then you would go home, prepare your meal, and have your meal. So if this is the case in this instance, then Jesus was in the temple through that day. At the end of the day, he leaves the temple for the last time, and he prophesies that he'll never be back again in the temple. And he makes that remarkable statement to the people, "O Israel, you who have killed the prophets, I wish I could gather your children up like a hen under her wings," which is from Psalm 91. If that was the conclusion of his day, the sun's going down and he sends the disciples out to find the upper room, then that would mean, according to the Gospels of Mark and of Luke, that would fit perfectly into Jesus being crucified on Thursday. If it was before the sun went down, then when he had the feast, it would have been the next day, it would have been Friday. So, which happened, we don't know. We have no idea. But if he did die on Thursday, what an incredible picture that God painted for the Jewish people, who every year from the Exodus to 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, celebrated the Passover in a very specific way that was laid out in Levitical law. And Jesus coming into the city, his time in the temple, his trial, his death, and resurrection fit beautifully into the Levitical law and how you celebrated the Passover. Over and over again, we see God using things to point to Jesus, to point to the Christ, the one who would take away our sins. And I think, and I kind of lean towards the Thursday crucifixion of Jesus, because it fits so beautifully and it paints such a beautiful picture of Jesus not being the sacrificial lamb that covered the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over and that the children could be let out of their bondage, but that he was the Passover lamb that rescued us from our bondage of sin. For a Jewish person, this is huge. And that rabbi that I told you about spoke of this. He is not a believer. He's not one who believes in Christ, but he spoke about the incredible importance of the Passover for the Jews. And I think God painted these pictures beautifully for us to see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Did he die on Thursday or Friday? I can't answer that for you. But if he did die on Thursday, what a beautiful picture it is. In the movie Fiddler on the Roof, there's a line that the Father Tevye makes, and he sings this song called "If I Were a Rich Man." And one of the lines in that song is, "If I were a rich man, I could be like the rabbis who sit all day in the synagogue and study the holy books. And as I was preparing this, and as I was reading about the possibility that Jesus died on Thursday and not Friday, and as I saw how that all lined up so beautifully with the Passover and the picture that God painted, I thought, man, I wish I could just stay here and keep on studying and studying and studying, because it showed me the wonderful heart of our Father who loved us and who built into our history pictures of His Son who would come to take away the sins of the world, to release us from our bondage from sin by the death of His death on the cross. With that, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day that You've given us, a day to remember Your coming into Jerusalem and the people crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, I don't know whether Jesus was crucified on Thursday or Friday. In the end, it doesn't really matter, but that he was crucified and died for our sins, that we might have that relationship with you that you wanted from the start, that we destroyed because of our sins. Help us, Lord, to grow in you, to become more like you, and to continue to honor you in all the things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.